Papa was specially gentle and solemn. In place of this Mama, whom they recollected so dimly, there was Aunt Izzy, Papa's sister, who came to take care of them when Mama went away on that long journey, from which, for so many months, the little ones kept hoping she might return. Aunt Izzy was a small woman, sharp-faced and thin, rather odd-looking, and very neat and particular about everything. She meant to be kind to the children, but they puzzled her much, because they were not a bit like herself when she was a child. Aunt Izzy had been a gentle, tidy little thing who loved to sit, as Curly Locks did, sewing long seams in the parlor, and have her head patted by older people, and be told that she was a good girl, whereas Katie tore her dress every day, hated sewing, and didn't care a button about being called good, while Clover and Elsie shied off like restless ponies when anyone tried to pat their heads. It was very perplexing to Aunt Izzy, and she found it quite hard to forgive the children for being so unaccountable, and so little like the good boys and girls in Sunday school memoirs, who were the young people she liked best and understood most about. Then Dr. Carr was another person who worried her. He wished to have the children hardy and bold, and encouraged climbing and rough plays, in spite of the bumps and ragged clothes which resulted. In fact, there was just one half-hour of the day when Aunt Izzy was really satisfied about her charges, and that was the half-hour before breakfast, when she'd made a law that they were all to sit in their little chairs and learn the Bible verse for the day. At this time she looked at them with pleased eyes. They were all so spick and span, with such nicely brushed jackets and such neatly combed hair. But the moment the bell rang, her comfort was over. From that time on they were what she called not fit to be seen. The neighbors pitied her very much. They used to count the 60 stiff white pantalette legs hung out to dry every Monday morning, and say to each other what a sight of washing those children made, and what a labor it must be for poor Miss Carr to keep them so nice. But poor Miss Carr didn't think them at all nice. That was the worst of it. "Clover, go upstairs and wash your hands. Dorry, pick your hat off the floor and hang it on the nail. Not that nail, the third nail from the corner." These were the kind of things Aunt Izzy was saying all day long. The children minded her pretty well, but they didn't exactly love her, I fear. They called her Aunt Izzy, always, never Auntie. Boys and girls will know what that meant. I want to show you the little cars, and I don't know that I could ever have a better chance than one day when 5 out of 6 were perched on the top of the ice house like chickens on a roost. This ice house was one of their favorite places. It was only a low roof set over a hole in the ground, and as it stood in the middle of the side yard, it always seemed to the children that the shortest road to every place was up one of its slopes and down the other. They also liked to mount to the ridgepole, and then, still keeping the sitting position, to let go and scrape slowly down over the warm shingles to the ground. It was bad for their shoes and trousers, of course, but what of that? Shoes and trousers and clothes generally were Aunt Izzy's affair. Theirs was to slide and enjoy themselves. Clover, next in age to Katie, sat in the middle. She was a fair, sweet dumpling of a girl, with thick pigtails of light brown hair, and short-sighted blue eyes, which seemed to hold tears just ready to fall from under the blue. Really, Clover was the jolliest little thing in the world. But these eyes and her soft, cooing voice always made people feel like petting her and taking her part. Once, when she was very small, she ran away with Katie's doll, and when Katie pursued and tried to take it from her, Clover held fast and would not let go. Dr. Carr, who wasn't attending particularly, heard nothing but the pathetic tone of Clover's voice as she said, "Me won't. Me want Dolly." And without stopping to inquire, he called out sharply, "For shame, Katie. Give your sister her doll at once." Which Katie, much surprised, did, while Clover purred in triumph like a satisfied kitten. Clover was sunny and sweet-tempered, a little indolent, and very modest about herself, though in fact she was particularly clever in all sorts of games and extremely droll and funny in a quiet way. Everybody loved her, and she loved everybody, especially Katie, whom she looked up to as one of the wisest people in the world. Pretty little Phil sat next on the roof to Clover, and she held him tight with her arm. Then came Elsie, a thin brown child of 8, with beautiful dark eyes and crisp short curls covering the whole of her small head. Poor little Elsie was the odd one among the Carrs. She didn't seem to belong exactly to either the older or the younger children. The great desire and ambition of her heart was to be allowed...